you for being with us this morning.
We're very pleased to have the opportunity to stand before you and present a lesson from God's Word. We're very thankful to have Albert here most of the time. And he's not here today, and that's to the benefit of those where he's starting the meeting today, but we appreciate him and what he does and the lessons he presents. And he does a great job of them. I'm thankful to know what he does. This morning, you have in front of you a piece of paper that was handed out with some blanks and questions and so forth. And for you who take notes, for you who may want to take notes, for you who are just learning to take notes, whatever, take a look at that. The blanks that you see on the questions there will show up on the screen at some point in time as the lesson progresses today. So please feel free to do that and to participate in the lesson in that way. This morning we want to take a look at Job. We've had the opportunity for the past few weeks in the class in the back with 11, 12, and 13-year-old kids to review this man, the character that he has, and draw some incredible lessons from his life as a result. We want to share some of that with you today, and obviously we cannot go through the entire book this morning. We're basically going to fix our thoughts on the first two chapters and draw some applications from it. But I think when we take a look at what the Scripture has for us to understand about this man, we're going to gain a lot of things today. So in Job chapter 1, and we'll start there this morning, because we see described in chapter 1 the nature, the caliber of person that Job is. And it says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was greatest of all the men in the east. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters and eat with them. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But what I want us to understand, and we could spend an entire lesson on the first verse talking about Job being blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. And if we dig into that term, turning away from evil, there's a lot more to it than what you just see. It's the idea of something even looks funny. Stay away from it. That's the kind of thing that Job had on his mind. If it looked suspect, back away. Job was that much into serving his Lord. Job was that kind of person, and obviously God had blessed him tremendously in the things that he was allowed to be and to have. But the scene changes in verse 6, and there's a meeting that takes place, and we can begin to understand that meeting wasn't here. It was someplace else, and you'll see that in verse 7. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And in verse 7, the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." We talked in the class in other lessons about the nature of Satan. And we studied before, and a familiar passage that comes up in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, where the writer here says, "Be sober, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." We talked about in the class, and we just pulled numbers out of the air. There's nothing concrete here at all, but it illustrates the point. If Satan has 95% of the world, which he does have a lot of them, think how he's concentrating on the other 5. That's you and me. That's you and me. The effort that he is concentrating on that 5% is amazing. Job fell into that category. Job was one of them. And we're going to see what happens as a result. How did God feel about Job? And I want us to watch this thread through the lesson today. We don't very often get a feel for God's feelings about a person. But we do with Job. In this particular case, in verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on the earth, a blameless, upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." That's God's statement. Satan didn't believe it. Satan's claim, and he says in regard to it, in the beginning in verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed his work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." We'll talk about that statement in a moment. But that's what God's feeling is, and that's where Satan is coming from in regards to it. So Satan's allowed to do the following. In verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So set your pardon from the presence of the Lord." As Satan leaves and begins to then create problems for Job, I want us to fasten a seatbelt here. Because in the space of a day, in the space of a few hours, Job's world goes totally upside down. Pick up in verse number 13 of chapter 1. "Now on that day, when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking the wine in the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you.'" Verse 16, while he was still speaking, "Another came in and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven, burned up the sheep and the servants to consume them, and I alone have escaped.' And while he's still speaking, another came in and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" And while he's still speaking, another came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house." We talked about that a moment ago. "And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone am escaped to tell you." 10 kids. Everything that he's got is gone in 6 verses. Think about that. Everything in his life is gone in 6 verses. The 10 kids is a huge hit. So what takes place? Job reacts. How does he react to these bad, to all this news? I don't know how I'd react. I can only imagine. You feel like your heart's been poured out. In chapter 1, verse 20, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped, and he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" Through all this, Job did not sin or blame God. Amazing. Amazing. That's the caliber of guy we're talking about. That's the caliber of guy, Job. Okay? Now, did this convince Satan that Job was a righteous man? He lost the war. He lost the battle, but he wasn't ready to give up the war. Okay? In chapter 2, the first 6 verses, similar occasions, similar verses, similar things that are said in the first part of this. "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, 'Where do you come from?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it.' The Lord said, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause.' Satan answered and said, 'Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. However, Put forth your hand now and touch his bone of his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your power. Only spare his life. Only spare his life. Satan does that. Verses 7 and 8. Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd and scraped himself while he was sitting among the ashes. We tried to show and to tell the kids what this meant. You and I have been burnt. We've had a blister on our hand. It may have busted open and it ran and it was painful and we did everything we could. Imagine that from one end of your body to the other. And this wasn't a 24-hour bug. We know from other studies this happened at least a week, just when his friends showed up. They sat there for 7 days and seven nights and never said a word. We know it lasted that long. How much beyond that, we're not sure. But we know there's at least a week here, if not a lot more, that he's in this misery. That he's in this. There's not an urgent care he can run to. There's not a doctor he can bring in. There's not a thing that he can do to get relief for this except suffer and suffer and deal with it. What did Job's wife tell him to do? In chapter 2, verse 9, it says, his wife turned to him and said, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. Job's response to her was this in verse 10. And he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. We talked about this in class just this morning. Job's out there by himself. Really by himself. Now, any support, any encouragement, anything from anyone isn't there. It only gets worse as his friends decide to come and show up. And we'll not talk about them this morning. But it only gets worse as this approach develops and what we see. So, what observations can we make? We know the story. We know the account. And I wanted to review that with you this morning to get to here. Okay? What observations can we draw from Job this morning? Well, to begin with, God knew the type of person Job was. Okay? God knew that. Satan did not. He thought he did. In both occasions, in both the meetings, he said, you know, you take away his things, or you take away his help, and he'll curse you to your face and die, and walk away. Satan thought he knew. God knew. There was no question in God's mind the makeup and the constitution that Job had. So, we understand that God knows us too. There's no difference here when we start looking at Job as a person and you and me. So God knew Job. He knows us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, no temptation has overtaken you but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. How many people this morning got up and counted the hair on their head? Do you even know? Do you even suspect? God knows. God knows. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 to 30. He knows. He knows more about us than we do. Okay? So in Job's situation, he knew exactly. He knew exactly the makeup of this man. He knows the makeup of us. He knows what it is we are and what we can handle and what we cannot. Okay? And he's not going to put things out there to overwhelm us. We may learn from them. We may learn a huge lesson from them, but we're not going to be overwhelmed by them. Could Job have stumbled from the temptation? Absolutely he could have. Can we? No question. We can. And I'm afraid a lot of times do, when we understand what's going on. When we see what is out there in front of us. I think the key is, as in part of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, when we look for the way of escape, God's faithful. I think sometimes we don't look too far. I think sometimes our looking isn't as far-reaching as we'd like it to be. And so we become discouraged. We become overwhelmed. We become just can't handle it. And God knows that we can if we're out there and want to. Job maintained his faith in God all the way through. Like I said, we're only looking at the first couple of chapters of this. There's a huge amount of territory to cover about this man's life as this whole event takes place. In losing his things and family, Job chapter 1, verse 22, through all of this, Job did not sin or blame God. That in and of itself is an unbelievable statement when you really think about it. It's really difficult not to try to place the blame on somebody other than what's really going on and let it rock our faith and our belief in what God would have us to be. Job's wife, though, on the other hand, did not maintain her faith. Did not maintain her faith. After Job was afflicted with boils, her response is in verse 9, "Do you still hold fast your integrity, curse God, and die?" She had lost 10 kids, too. They had lost everything they had, and a part of that affected her as well. Yet, Job understands his relationship with God and maintains it. He says, curse God and die. And get it over with. Everything that was gone, she'd experienced. She'd heard the news. She had seen the suffering that her husband's going through, but as a result, reacts so totally, totally different that it's just so tough for Job to keep going here. So what do we learn? Tons of things we could talk about this morning. But let's begin in James chapter 5, verse 11. Here the writer says, "We count those blessed who endure. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and merciful." What was Job's outcome? What was the final result? What finally happened? Well, when you fast forward through to the end of the book, chapter 42, verses 10 through 12, it says, "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Then all his brothers and his sisters and all who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversities that the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him a piece of money and brought a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than in his beginning." Will that happen for you and me? Well, it will from the standpoint of God's compassion and mercy on us when we endure. Whatever that comes down to, we don't know. But I can assure you this, God will reward for enduring. God will restore us in the lost. Maybe not in this life, but at some point will. Just as he did and as he took care of his servant, Job. But maybe one of the clearest things that we can begin to understand is how God felt about Job's righteousness. As I said before, we don't often get a picture of God's feelings as clear as we get this one. In Ezekiel chapter 14, beginning at verse 12, I want us to see what the prophet, God through the prophet Ezekiel, has to say for us about Job. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, if a country sins against thee by committing unfaithfulness, and I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it, and cut off it from both man and beast, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in the midst," I'm sorry, I've got the wrong underline there, "by their own righteousness, they could not deliver themselves, declares the Lord. If I were to cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they depopulate it, and it became desolate, so that no one would pass through it because of the beast, though these three men were in the midst, as I live, declares the Lord, they could not deliver either their sons or their daughters. They alone would be delivered, but the country would be desolate. Or if I should bring a sword on that country and say, let the sword pass through the country and cut off man and beast from it, even though these three men were in the midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their sons or their daughters, but they alone could be delivered. Or if I should send a plague against the country and pour out my wrath and blood on it and cut off the man and beast from it, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their son or their daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness." That's God putting his stamp of approval on the character of these three individuals. Job is numbered among them. Now, why is that important? We've already talked about the fact that everything that touched Job, everything that he lost, everything that was taken from him, be it possessions, be it family, be it health, hits you and me. It strikes us right where we live. What does this mean? It means if we hold to the same type of faith and love that Job had, if we hold that same thing, guess what? God likes that. God says that makes a righteous person when we don't fall like his wife does. You see my point? This thing is so real that it's amazing to me how the account of someone like this and the things that he lost, the things that he gained, and the stamp of approval that God gives him should be such a source of encouragement for us, understanding we can make it. We can hang in there and we can succeed if we hold fast to what God's given us and hold fast to the word that he presents. It's an amazing set of verses for what we see God saying about not only Job, but what he's communicating to us and saying, guys, you can be like this. You can succeed just like Job did. And here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. Tremendous, tremendous set of verses as we take a look at things. What about you and me? Many things we could talk about, but in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 is a verse that we're familiar with. "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison," as John's writing this to the people here in Revelation, "so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, He who overcomes will not be hurt in the second death. That's God's promise. That's what God's communicating and saying. What's out there? The rest of it becomes to us to hold on, to hang in. Is it easy? Go back and read the account of Job. It's not. It isn't easy. It is something that we can be challenged from any direction at any time. Yet, in all of that, it can be succeed. We can be successful and can be on our way to pleasing God when we do. So what's God telling us? Even though Job was going through difficulties, God was still in control. Now, we don't have any problem standing back here reading that in the pages of the book of Job and understanding that's correct. We can see that picture. We can see that thread all the way through. Yes, Satan's having his way for the moment, but God is in control. Guess what? Job may not have understood it, and according when you take a look at some of the other verses, he was struggling to hold on, but he held on. Job did not understand why things were going the way they were, but he didn't blame God. He was able to handle it and stay tough. Okay? Guess what? He also became frustrated with the pain. We all know how pain can wear on you. We all know we can get awfully, awfully cranky, upset, nasty. We've seen all of that because of pain. Okay? Job was no exception. But in that frustration, didn't allow it to be something that was separating from God. We go through difficulties too. Guess what? God's still in control. Now, we may have a hard time thinking that, but if we've talked to the kids on numerous occasions and said, look, when things come down the road at you, there's one of two ways to react to it. Understand we're going to be better out of this, or understand it's going to take us out. And it's going to drive a wedge between us and God. It's all in how you look at it. It's all in how you receive it. We can be better, or we can be worse. The choice is ours. And this is interesting. The choice was Job's too. To be better, or to be worse. It was his. We know what Job did, and we know what God said about it. He'll say the same thing about us. We can get that. We can do the same thing that Job did and be pleasing to God as a result of it. Do we always understand why things are going the way they are? Please understand that. It's the same answer. Absolutely not. We may not understand why things are going the way they're going, but they are. And we need to understand. God's still in control. Do what we can do, encourage in the way that we best can do, and let God have the rest. God doesn't play by the same rules that we do. He knows a lot more than I do and you do. And so he understands what the big picture is. We don't. So please, please hang in there just the way Job did, because that's what's going to get us from this life to the next. We can be like Job. We can let his example, we can let the stamp of approval that God gave him be a guide for us to help us as we get through life. We can remain faithful no matter the circumstance. Now that is so easy to type on this screen and to put up there so you can read it. But I know not real. It's tough. But understand, the circumstance doesn't give us the opportunity or the right to challenge God. God is in control. If I had time, I would love to put the presentation on here where God is speaking to Job out of the tornado. I have a feeling when he heard the voice coming out of that whirlwind, he forgot about all the pain that was going on. He was in the presence of something, of someone who could take him out in a minute. And I think all of that fell away in his mind. But Job understood the God that he served, and he hung in there. There's a tremendous amount of material that we could cover in the latter part of the book of Job, but we won't do that this morning. But we can remain faithful no matter the circumstance, and we can remain faithful to God. We can be righteous like Job and be pleasing to God like he was. We just need to hang in there. We need to never let go of what God has given to us. Now, as we look at that this morning, where are we today? Is there someone here today that's struggling along this line? Job is saying, through the example that he had, it was painful. I lost a bunch, but I learned a bunch as a result of who God is and what it is to serve Him. We can be the same way. We mean this to be an encouragement, a source of thought this morning, because life's not always what we want it to be. Life deals us some hits sometimes that it's really tough to take. But we need to know when that happens, God is still there. God is still in control. And we'll be better as a result. This morning, there might be someone here that's not even started down that road of letting God be a part of their life. You need to understand that's the first step we need to get to. But allowing Him to become the mainstay of who we are and of what we're about. Or, similar to Job, there's things out there that hit his heart. And I'll tell you, the prayers of the congregation, the prayers of those around who love us can help in so many ways. We might be able to help someone this morning, and we'd love to have the opportunity to do that. And if we can this morning, we'd like to do that. As together we stand, as we stand.